Okay, so here's the deal. The Academy Awards are this Sunday. There were a whopping 53 films labeled as Oscar-worthy. Now, when you're laid up in bed for a long time, you're allowed to do weird things. So I got to view every one. That is 79 hours of viewing. It's 4,715 minutes. But who's counting?
4,715?
That's right. That's okay. A lot of great Oscar viewing. So all of this to get ready for this conversation with our Oscarologist, Thelma Adams. Thelma is the author of the best-selling novels Bittersweet Brooklyn, The Last Woman Standing, and Playdate. She is a prominent film critic, having been the in-house film critic for Us Weekly and The New York Post. She has some great articles right now in Variety that are online. But yeah, her greatest title is that of Oscarologist. Ooh. And it is a yearly tradition that she makes her way up the thruway to talk to us about the Academy Awards. Thelma, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. And I made my way up the thruway without getting a ticket today. So I am very self-impressed.
Well, also, before we get too far into the proceedings, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Very nice that you came on your birthday. I appreciate that. And we wish you a very happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you. And you know what? It's a testament to how much of a treat it is to come and talk to you for Oscars. I was like, yay, I get to go talk to Joe, you know.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you being here. It's great to see you. So let's do the overview. What kind of year was it in film?
Overview. I'm so excited because of my birthday. Overview is...
everybody says that.
Yeah, everybody says that. Overview is, it was a great year. There were some great movies that I really loved. It was a tumultuous year in terms of the issues of women and people of color and representation. And all of a sudden, things that I had been kind of fighting 5, 6, 7 years ago out in the wilderness are now mainstream discussions. And that has really colored the race. But I would say... the issue, as we discuss awards and our desire for more female directors and more people of color and a more diverse field, is that the change has to be in the pipeline.
Right.
And that change, if you look at the indicators, not to be overly optimistic, but if you look at Sundance, if you look at what's happening at Berlin and, you know, at the film festival that's coming up, representation and more films directed by diverse people, they will happen. The Oscars are not necessarily, you know, like, it's not kindergarten and everybody gets a blue ribbon.
Right. But you have films that are Oscar worthy. And I mean, the most obvious one here is Little Women, of course, and Greta Gerwig not getting nominated. So it's nominated for Best Picture. She's nominated for Screenwriter. So, but not for Director. And I think that is what a lot of people looked at and said,
oh, completely.
Okay, but if it's still out there and there are women and they're doing great work, what is it about the Academy? Because this has been an ongoing issue. And yet, while it has been addressed and may have been a little bit better last year, you go right back into it again.
Right. You know what?
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but they also tried to address it. I mean, the Academy tried to address it.
Yes. And they are addressing it. And they are expanding their membership. And I will tell you, the people that I know who have joined in the past 5 years are a diverse and an interesting group of people. And, you know, change is a little slow. And I'm going to say something that I think, you know, you love me to say things. You don't have to prod me to say things that are controversial. If we're talking about Best Director, there were people who were left out. And that also, you know, Greta Gerwig, yes.
Yes.
But Greta Gerwig also got a nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Picture and Saoirse Ronan and Best Costume Design. Not a small amount of things. And I would say that Taika Waititi, who
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, which I love, love, love. And also, and I hope I can say this right, Fernando Murray, who directed The Two Popes.
Yeah.
A fantastic director. So that's, yes, it's true, it's systemic that we have to get more women coming through the DGA. But I would say, you know, Greta, not such a bad year.
No, not at all. But it is interesting, and the argument always is that this is going back to The Color Purple when people say the best picture and the director doesn't win, and you know, does the film direct itself?
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. You get it, but you also can't have 9 films nominated and have only 5 people nominated in Best Director and have that ever sort of be fair, right?
I agree. It's a game of musical chairs, and Taika Waititi, not sour grapes. You know, he got a DGA nomination. He didn't get in. You know, you can say Todd Phillips, the Joker. Like, I'm not a Joker fan, but, $1 billion at the box office. There's a lot of going back and forth on this. There's a movie that I completely love, and I hope that you've seen it, and I hope people will be able to see it. Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic French movie directed by a woman. I would say she should be up in this top 5, the best director for that movie. But because she did not get France's nomination for best Oscar, that went to Les Miserables, which is good. But
is it?
You know, good enough.
Okay.
You know, but I would say that her movie...
They lost me at The Lion, but go ahead.
They lost me at The Lion. But I would say that movie and that direction would be number one, and we are slowly seeing change. I guess I have been mad about this for a long time, but I am taking the long view. There will be change.
Well, good. We need it, right?
Yeah.
And so, but meanwhile, you have really, really good films.
Fantastic films. And also the issue, you know, when I've been listening to the roundtable, you know, forever, and I listen today, one of the clear issues of our time is income inequality.
Yeah.
And that is at the center of movies like Parasite.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant movie.
It is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It is a film that you look at movies that change you. You know, the films that you watch and you realize, I'm never really going to ever forget this and forget this experience of seeing that film. And I just thought it was one of the most miraculous things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I turned around and I, you know, watched it with, I saw it, loved it, watched it with my kids. You know, they, and my, you know, they're my children, obviously, so they are not daunted by subtitles. I just wrote a piece for Variety about Bong Joon-ho saying, you know, let's get over our resistance to subtitles.
And it's about, you were writing it, it's about the space, right?
And also I think, you know, looking at my kids who do video games and other computer games, they're used to things written on the screen and reading.
But also, I contend that is a type of film, that is a film that... if someone asks me in 5 years, have you ever seen Parasite, I probably won't even remember that it had subtitles. Just because it's such an immersive, amazing experience.
I will never forget that scene when the father and his daughter and son are running down the stairs and it's pouring rain like it is today and they're just running. And it's such a graphic representation of rich and poor.
Yeah.
And they're running through this awful, awful rain. And they get to their sub-basement apartment and it's flooded with sewage. And you're just like, graphic representation. And yet, every moment, every character builds. You know, no one is not human in that.
No. And there are films where, there's films I'm sure you look at and you say, yeah, there's no one in this film that I like. And that's a film where you sort of feel for everybody.
Yes.
And it's interesting. You know, there's really not a bad guy in it, because it's you understand these characters are so layered and beautiful that you feel for all of them.
For all of them. It's almost like, you know, in a novel where you say, well, any of the characters could be the hero or the lead or the protagonist.
Right.
Parasite is that movie where anybody could have been. I mean, even the wild Indian little brother could have been the lead of that movie.
Do you think?
Then it would have been Jojo Rabbit.
Yes. Do you think it'll win?
You know what? That's the real toss the coin. I think it's going to win Best Foreign Language Film.
Yep.
And so then the question becomes, does it make sense for it to win Best Picture and Best Foreign Language Picture?
I would say no, but it may be the other way around.
Yeah, you know, I just don't. I've been switching those back and forth on my predictions, which are on goldderby.com, and I'm proud to say, with Tom O'Neill, whose site it is, this is our 20th anniversary doing it.
I was going to say, you've been doing it.
20th anniversary. Thank you, Tom, for remembering, because I'm not the kind of person that, you know, I'm just so in the moment trying to get stuff done. Yay! So I would say here, 1917 is my Best Picture prediction. And I'll tell you, I had the screener and it sat all the way through Christmas. It sat on my coffee table in front of the giant screen. And, you know, my husband loves war movies and he wanted to watch it. And I was like, okay, finally, I was going to interview the co-writer, Christy Wilson Cairns.
Yeah.
And for Variety. And I watched it.
Which was a great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The things on the cutting room floor of that interview were great. She's fantastic. But I saw that movie and I'm like, it's not a stunt. This is in many ways a perfect movie. You know, some quibbles aside, but I feel it's a perfect movie. And I read the script. And when I read the script, I wept at the end.
Yeah. I agree with you. I thought it was sure, there's this, for want of a better term, but a gimmick of it's one continuous. But that is interesting, because it's not a movie about World War I where you're trying to wrap up the war in 2 hours. It's a moment in that war, and it's so personal and so encompassing of what it brings. And I just thought it was beautiful. It's a really special, special movie.
And I think, you know, in talking to the screenwriter, I learned things, which is just how hard it was to... She said this thing that Christy said, that she said, no one ever says, I'm worried that we're going to die, or I miss my kids, or I miss my mother. They talk around, especially men, talk around their feelings. And so this is a movie that's built on dialogue and action that shows you exactly how these people feel without them telegraphing that information. So I think brilliant.
Yeah, it is absolutely brilliant. Anything on the Best Picture list that you don't think belongs there?
You know, there's ones that I feel less about. There's ones that I'll, you know, I will say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I know people love Tarantino. And I love a lot about it. I don't think it's about anything. You know? Mm.
I enjoy the film. I liked it a lot. And I feel that it has a place on this list. I understand what you're saying, though. It's hard to sum up. Is it about Manson? Is it about Hollywood? Is it about actors? Is it about stuntmen?
I'm going to reframe it and say, yeah, I can see why it's on this list. It's just not a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And I would say I really could do without Joker. Not that it's not a great performance, go Joaquin. I think it's a wild performance. But I was disconnected from him in the first 10 minutes, and that really hurt how I saw the movie. And just...
Does the disconnection come because it's so and over the top in the sense that it is that he is so there's such clearly something wrong, you know, that it's almost it's hard to feel anything for him because it's so out.
It starts what you would say if you were talking to a novelist is that it starts at such a high pitch. There's
That's
nowhere
right.
to go.
There you go. Yeah.
I would say, pulling my hand down because I did about the motion here.
Always good on radio.
I would say also that we'd seen Christian Bale lose tons and tons of weight in the past.
Yeah.
I found that idea of, oh, he's so emaciated, I felt that is more of a stunt than pretending that 1917 is all in one shot. He did so many actor Oscar bait-y stunts, you know, that I just couldn't go there. Also, for people who watch the show Gotham.
Yes.
A lot of the more interesting notes about Joker and about Arkham have been teased out at length. So it didn't seem fresh to me.
Well, then we go to lead actor. We mentioned Joaquin Phoenix, who does seem to be a lock for best actor. Also in that category, Jonathan Pryce of The Two Popes, which is a movie I loved.
I love that movie.
Thought that movie was fantastic. Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory.
Guy.
What did you think about...
Which one?
No, out of those five, you think Joaquin's going to win, right?
I just switched back. I've been trying to pick, you know, the upsets, and until today I had Antonio Banderas, and I think sometimes, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah.
And I love that collaboration between him and Pedro Almodovar. I have been following the two of them since Matador and before, and to see how rich and how wise both of them have become and how amazing they are at their craft, to me, that's the height of the art. Also, I would say Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes. If we want to go back and say what was robbed in the top 10, I think Two Popes, I would have rather seen that instead of, you know, Joker.
Yeah. Right.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Right.
Yeah.
I the Pain and Glory film I thought was interesting because Antonio Banderas' performance, I agree, is amazing, and it's a beautiful uh-huh. film, and it's a beautiful performance. The problem I had with that movie, and it's about a filmmaker who is sort of brought back and asked to do an anniversary of one of his works and sort of looks back. And is the weird heroine addition that just sort of comes out of nowhere. And that bothered me.
Okay.
And I had problems digesting it because it wasn't evolved. It just sort of happened. And then... it just went, and I thought it got in the way of what was really at the heart of it, which was this man who is sort of finding himself and realizing his true self.
Right. I'll take it this way. I would say it's a reflection of how great the pain of the director is. And I think I didn't realize that personally Almodovar has gone through a huge struggle with pain.
Yeah.
And that led him, I believe, and I don't know, this actually doesn't make a difference whether it personally led him to drugs or not. I think that shows the extent of the pain that he was hiding.
Got it. Yeah.
Doesn't mean it works dramatically.
Right.
I loved the scenes with Penelope Cruz as the mother.
So great.
Oh, and when she's in the river. And just that love of a mother and a son, which reminds me that with directors like Pedro Almodovar, women are loved, appreciated in all their complexity. So he doesn't have to be a female director to get female-driven films.
Also, that relationship, but the fragility of that relationship,
too. Oh, completely fragile.
And how you see it from the beginning and how it ends up, too, is fascinating. Let's talk lead actress, Cynthia Erivo, Scarlett Johansson, who's nominated not only for lead actress, but supporting actress as well. Saoirse Ronan, Charlize Theron, and Renee Zellweger. Renee Zellweger has pretty much won everything for Judy.
Yeah, so then the question is, not that I answer it in any different way, but the question is this another Glenn Close, the wife, where people love her performance, Renee, but they were not as thrilled. But Judy is not among the best pictures.
Right.
What I would say, too, is that this is a better movie than people have given it credit for. And this character that she creates is something that we don't see very often, which is this troubled mother who's hugely talented and is, you know, the highs and lows of Judy Garland. And also, I would say, you know, having watched it a couple of times, and, you know, my daughter and I are very invested in The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And Judy Garland and what that means to us. Like watching my daughter grow up and her being in love with that and having grown up with Wizard of Oz. And the two of us sat there at the end of that movie and watched the last half hour. And I was weeping. She was weeping. And we looked over at some point and realized that we were both weeping kind of about the same things, about the lost innocence that somewhere over the rainbow doesn't happen. And yet it, you know, unified generations around this woman. And I think that's very powerful. And that may be what's also propelling that win.
I have to say the performance that surprised me the most, not really surprised me, but as Charlize Theron's take of on Megyn Kelly, is one of the most. I have never seen anyone embody somebody where I watched their performance and just thought I was watching Megyn Kelly.
Agreed.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
I mean, that's makeup, but that's also great acting.
That's also, and it's also her ability to shed her own ego.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know, just leave it behind.
So we have a couple minutes left, and I just want to go. So one of the things, of course, is director, and there's a lot there. Sam Mendes has done very well in 1917. Bong Joon-ho, of course, for Parasite. And then I guess we can also wrap up by talking about what the hell happened to The Irishman.
What the hell happened to The Irishman? Okay, here I'm switching back and forth. So today, my birthday, I am going back to Sam Mendes, despite the fact that I, until yesterday, was Bong Joon-ho. And previously, I had thought Martin Scorsese for the win.
Yeah.
And then the question, The Irishman, of the big Netflix movies, of which there were, you know, four live action, I preferred The Two Popes. But the money was on this, the focus was on this, the idea that there would be best actors coming out of this movie. And yet, Martin Scorsese gave us this world, and he's giving us kind of an elegiac moment.
Right.
So I got, props to him. I wish he, I would not be disappointed if he won. I would be happy. I don't see it.
Right. It doesn't seem
what do you think happened to The Irishman?
I don't know. I think maybe length, and that its story was that it wasn't compact enough in the sense that it was going a lot of different places. But I don't know. I mean, it's almost like an overload. And but I enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. But it was hard to. I guess I'm not surprised that it's been not doing well in competitions because I just think it's easy to forget it, I think.
But also it came out, it was a front runner. That front runner at the very beginning often runs out of steam, whereas 1917 came towards the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they released that brilliantly. We're out of time.
We're out of time.
But we did. We got through a lot of categories, and Sunday night, 8:00, ABC.
Yay.
We'll be there. Thelma, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Happy, happy birthday to
you. Thank you.
Have a beautiful, beautiful birthday and a wonderful Oscars weekend.
Thank you. And I'm glad to see you back behind your desk.
It's good to
Yay.
Be here. Thank you very much.